Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you, and I do mean with you, this evening, May the 12th on the West Coast, and now May the 13th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and hope that you find tonight's show interesting, if not fascinating. Now, I had planned, actually, to read Chapter 4 and discuss some of the issues in Chapter 4 of Jack Parsons and the Curious Origins of the American Space Program by a man who used the pen name of The Magician. It could very well be The Magician is actually several people collaborating on the story, but basically it speaks about the foundation, the creation of Jet Propulsion Laboratories in Pasadena, California, otherwise known as JPL, and the real launching of the American space program, which eventually joined with NASA. And rather than go into that tonight, I thought it might do some good to talk about some of the elements that historically led up to these events. And by using discernment, not so much rattling off a bunch of facts that maybe have been gleaned from research, but to look, and I'm speaking about names and dates and those kinds of things. Those are important when establishing chronologies. But I thought it'd be interesting to discuss how this Nazi takeover of the United States, which we are witnessing, and it's not exclusively Nazism or Zionism that's being practiced. It's basically a melding together of all the radical political ideologies that came from the various places on the planet where communism and socialism were prevalent, were the norm. And I'm going to talk about what I intuitively think happened. And we have a lot of facts to back this up, but not many people talk about the metaphysical aspect of what went on. And then when we go back to the Jack Parsons story, you're going to find that you're going to understand much of what's described about people like Aleister Crowley, Parsons, of course, L. Ron Hubbard, the scientist von Karman, who got most of the credit for what many feel was Jack Parsons' brilliance and his work. There was a dark side to this whole thing, and it actually corresponds to governments and events that lead to wars. We seem to just transition from one war to another constantly. You have wars that are larger than other wars, and you have small skirmishes that occur over borders and over intrusions and those types of things. But in the long run, we're speaking about the incessant need on the part of those that orchestrate these events to keep mankind in this catatonic state. How does one cope with the constant prevalence of mass murder under the guise of stopping oppression when it's the oppression comes from those that concoct the wars? We know they're behind it. We know they're making money, but we don't somehow make the connections to recognize what's happening, and it's happening now. It's not stopped with World War II. World War I was called the war to end all wars. Of course, that was until there was World War II. And you had wars in between and after. And they've never stopped. As Illuminati families bicker amongst themselves to steal what another has gained from the last scam that they ran on the planet and upon humanity. So I thought tonight I would go into that aspect of how and why the space program was created, and then we're going to interface it with what's going on today. I do want to talk about Japan. However, I'm intending to discuss that because we have what we feel is some of the most truthful information to come out of Japan as to what's really going on. And you're going to be very surprised how accurate we were on some shows that we did over the past month and a half or so. Shows that I did with Ken Adachi, Z.S. Livingstone in a roundtable format. Then Z.S. and I did a few shows together. Ken returned and we did again some more talks about what was going on, and we're getting corroboration on everything that we said. And it really paints a clear picture of what's going on, and that those that doubt things that we've said on this show, and many of my guests have talked about the existence of intelligent life beyond our atmosphere, and beyond our gravity, you're going to find out that these things are true. You're going to realize it, but it's becoming very clear what they have planned. And I'm going to share the metaphysical perspective of this rather than this person posted this on YouTube or that person there wrote an article about it where they reference Roswell and they reference a craft that may have crashed in the Andes Mountains and three aliens that are being held in a prison. We're going to avoid all that. We're going to talk about what spirit sees. I think you'd find that very interesting. I'm not going to channel information. I'm going to actually describe the process of how I see this. And I can assure you it can be corroborated. There are those that are going to hear what I have to say and know I'm telling the truth. So you're going to find this interesting. So we will eventually be talking about the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, General Jeremiah, and their role, what's going on, because a lot of people are attempting to stop that information from coming out. Well, I've got a radio show. Why not talk about it? And that's what I'm going to do. So tonight we're going to call this show affectionately Jeremiah Blues.
Big
I'm sure many of you recognize that voice and that style. That was Sting and Jeremiah Blues Part 1. I have to be honest, I've never heard Jeremiah Blues Part 2. Maybe that's coming down the road. It occurred to me that Sting is to, as far as music, is to the Galactic Federation what Lawrence Welk is to the Illuminati. Let's make that comparison. There's a lot of consciousness in this music, and that he chose to make it funky. He was emphasizing the authority in what he was saying. It's a very interesting song. We're going to feature some more of Sting's music later on in the show, and this is going to be stream of consciousness, but it's from a metaphysical perspective, as I said. Now, we'd have to go back to America's inclusion in World War II based upon the false flag event. You see, war is also a false flag event. Keep that in mind. That's the part of the theme of what I'm going to be talking about here for the next few minutes. The Hilo Herald on December 6th, 1941, had a headline that said, Pearl Harbor may be attacked. In big, bold, black letters. Headline, front page. And that paper was obscured until the researcher, Ralph Epperson, who was on Evident Footprints a number of years ago, brought that information forward. It's been known for some time. But he's done an incredible amount of research in that regard. And it became clear that it was planned that we would agree to do this. Yet, remember, there's always a Hegelian dialectical plot underway. To appear, the first part of the plot is to appear that we were attacked by Japan when that was induced. Intentionally exposed our Navy when they could have remained at the Coronado Naval Base in San Diego. Instead, they chose to expose all those men and women and aircraft and carriers and destroyers. A large percentage of the U.S. fleet was parked there. And it was a false flag event. There's no doubt about that. That was the pretext. That was the 9/11 of the day. Now, we were led to believe that the Nazis, and then, of course, the Japanese, once Pearl Harbor was attacked, were evil and they were to be taken down. They had encroached. This is all by design. It's planned to go this way, folks. This doesn't just happen. You can see this happening today in the Middle East. It's making a circle around Iran. Possibly opening up the pretext with Pakistan on the basis of this phony story they told us about Osama bin Laden. Now going back, see, that's another false flag event there too. Going back to World War II, it was determined by the SS. What was known as the Deutsche Verteidigungsdienst, the DVD, or the Dachau DVD. They operated out of Dachau, just outside of Munich, or München, as they say in German. And this was the crowd, Joseph Mengele, Martin Bormann, Otto Skorzeny, George H. Scherf, a.k.a. George H.W. Bush. I wrote about that in my article, Deathbed Confessions, Photo Support Claims, that George H. Scherf, Jr. was the 41st U.S. president. That was a second piece that I wrote. It's a two-part piece where I talked about the Federal Reserve, Circuit Chautauqua. That was the infiltration going on right there. The banks and the indoctrination program. So there was a point when people were fleeing Germany, becoming refugees by design, came over here to the United States, and it was a perfect opportunity for the Dachau DVD, or the SS, as they were also known, to infiltrate the states simultaneously, or at least to set up the apparatus for infiltrating the United States, which they did. Operation Paperclip. We don't need to go into great detail there. So this was planned, you see. This was planned years before it actually occurred and probably was happening in stages. We know that because of the U-boat base at Montauk, Long Island, New York, during the war. And I had discovered names that I was tracking in genealogy studies, and I came upon the actual numbers that led me to the physical addresses of these people, U-boat officers living in the United States during the war. So this was already underway. It was very easy for them to ship arms across the Atlantic Ocean in U-boats. They didn't have to be using freighters, but they used the passenger liners for the same thing. The very banks that owned the shipping lines were doing the money laundering with the Nazis. So the whole apparatus was in place. It wasn't just at the end of the war that they brought these people over here. And everything they did was fakery. Hitler's death, Eva Braun's suicide next to him. It's all faked. Otto Skorzeny said that. He admitted that. As far back as 1997, and he died in 1999 on December 31st in Boynton Beach, Florida, and not in Spain in 1975. From cancer. That was talked about as well in the Scherf piece that I did. And these are the very people involved with the space program. The Nazis did have space technology, some of which, some technology which they tried to acquire from people living in central Afghanistan. And you wonder why we're in Afghanistan? It's not just the drugs, but that is a major reason why we're there. But there's a dimensional portal there. This fits like hand in glove with the Jack Parsons story. And during my Scherf research, I was following leads that led me up to the region where they were testing the rockets during the war and prior to the war. The Germans were firing rockets. Germans were manufacturing flying saucers during the war. Those are on my website. Michael Anthony, frequent guest on the show, supplied me with many photographs. I have a few photos of the Federation craft, and I'm going to be adding more. Seems to be this desire to discredit what I say about the reality of what's going on. Now, I'm giving you things right now that you can look up. You can research this, and you can find this information out there. When you start connecting dots, you see that this all makes sense. Now, what kind of characters would be the main antagonist in a Second World War and could be thought of as nice people with the slaughter of millions of people that occurred? And I don't leave out the Bolsheviks either and the Satanists in their organizations, both political and militaristic and organized crime. The organized crime from Russia has been the world model, has been the same methodology employed by the Jewish mafia, the Italian mafia, the Polish mafia, the various Asian secret societies. They all have their own thing. I guess we're tolerant of that because that's always going to be there. But when it becomes, when they become, these organizations, these societies and secret societies become tools of governments that are run by the same criminals, it's nothing but a destructive path. They can tell you anything about peace, the reasons for war, the reasons for poverty, how they're fixing things. They've been saying that forever. What have they fixed? Look at the state of the United States or Canada or Central or South America, Europe, Africa, Asia. Can you really think of, and let's not leave out Australia, New Zealand. Look at what's gone on in Japan, which we will be talking about tomorrow night with Jim Murray and hopefully Z.S. Livingstone. Because we have some interesting news about that. So this is about the truth. All of this stuff mirrors itself. They're repeating right now what they did during World War II, just prior setting up the brown shirts, indoctrinating the children. It's become very Germanic in our school system. And I don't speak down to the German people. I'm 1/8 German myself through blood. It's not the German people that are that way. It's those that run these governments. Now, we don't talk much about astral traveling. Many talk about it as being some kind of new age weirdo concept. Yet, it's a very sacred thing to be able to astral travel. there are those that use methodologies that lead them to a pseudo-astral traveling. Some call it remote viewing, but that doesn't mean that all remote viewers employ this particular method. Because there are some that call themselves remote viewers. You could call them psychics, sensitives, seers, intuitives. They're all kind of, these are just labels. But it's the methodology that's used to sense and to be able to see or hear or feel what's going on in other places. I suppose if you can feel what's going on in your room, can you extend that to two rooms in your house or your whole house or the house in your entire property? Or get a sense of the feeling of your city, your county, your state, the region of the country you live in. A lot of people are doing that these days, by the way. They're sensing that something's not right, which is already a positive step to be conscious. And I just got confirmation, by the way, that Z.S. Livingstone will be with us. So thumbs up, Z.S. Anyway, as I was saying, there are different approaches to consciousness. And when you open your heart and when you learn to make the connection with the various natural energy grids or the ethereal realms, and we're talking about positive life force here, or energy, not door, or deadly orgone energy. We're talking about positive energy that is life-supporting, life-giving, consciousness-expanding. When you are working within that realm, the creator and the laws of the universe, the laws of the creation are honored, and there's an interaction, there's a communication that takes place. And when you pray, you get answers. The answers may come to you in thoughts or feelings, emotions, or in events that occur. People that you meet. Some call it luck. Some call it good fortune. Some call it synchronicity. Some call it miracles. But regardless of what you want to call it, there's a process that occurs when you determine that you want to see the truth. You want to know the truth. You intend to know it. It's your desire. It's your passion. And if your integrity is proper, If you have integrity, then you are permitted to view what is in that realm. When you use it against others, however, that's taken away from you. This is where the methodical, programmed remote viewing comes in. It's simulating the process, knowing and understanding that the total access to that reality and that ability or that gift is not available to those that misuse it or those that use it for nefarious purposes. Those are natural laws. And I found it interesting that they named the government program remote viewing. And I questioned, does the word remote mean that you're seeing things far away or from far away? Or is it being controlled from far away? And the fact that they use blank sheet of paper and put some codes that they call coordinates that guides the person along a particular path, which would be a program. It's used because it's been developed. The study of natural psychics, the study of intuitives, doesn't, because they studied it scientifically or clinically, doesn't mean that it had the integrity of the true function of the human spirit, connecting with the universe, or connecting with the creation, or connecting with Jesus Christ, or connecting with God, or the Holy Spirit, or all of those things. Some call the Holy Spirit the universal mind. Is there really any difference? Because it's not mind like you have in your head. It's a universal frequency where knowledge is, where wisdom is, and it's available. But it's at a certain frequency, so you have to develop yourself to rise to that frequency. And when you do, and only you will know when that's occurred. No one can predict when that's going to happen or exactly what you must do. It's not a program. It's a process. It's a process of you being and becoming. And the more you know, and the more you, disconnect yourself from illusory realities or false realities like we have here. A bunch of rules intended to regulate us while, or reining us in as if we're on leashes. When you recognize that aspect of yourself, the fears and the ability for those things to dominate you go away. This is why they don't want people to hear the truth. Because it opens you up to more truth. And the more truth you are able to assimilate into your being, into your consciousness, into your awareness, the more you let go of fear, the more, or I should say, the less illusion serves any purpose in your life. And you begin to see the truth. So from a metaphysical standpoint, from a psychic standpoint, or an intuitive, or one of discernment, you can see that all of this was planned to happen. The escape of the Nazis was planned to infiltrate and work in a bigger playing field. Germany was not that large of a country, you see, and it had been determined that all of these states that were trampled on by the German army, or let's not forget the Japanese either. I mean, this is what went on in the war. I'm not nitpicking at certain ethnic groups. That's not what this is about. But once it was established that they determined who the enemies were, then they did the same thing. They came over to the United States under the auspice of fleeing. But they brought the very people that created the whole problem in the first place with them, with the refugees. This is a perfect cover for it. It was a brilliant idea, but it's been found out. And they're doing the same thing now. Are they not bringing the Muslims here? Unnecessarily bringing them here? And I'm not saying there aren't Muslims that are oppressed around the world. There are millions of them oppressed. And Chinese. And Russians, and Ukrainians, and Poles, and Hungarians, and now Czechoslovakia is a little bit different now because it's divided up more into ethnic states. But we can go on and on naming countries, and it seems like in every country, people are having the same problems. Everybody's fixing the economy. Everybody's fixing medicine. Everybody's fixing the planet. But when you look and see what the planet looks like, when you go up, when you astral travel, and the reason I brought up astral traveling was that was the natural aspect of remote viewing. And everybody does it, whether they're conscious of it or not. Certainly you do it often when you sleep. If you can recall standing on top of a very high mountain or flying someplace. And I've talked to thousands of people that dream about flying. I suppose everybody you know has dreamt about flying. you're actually having somewhat of a conscious recollection or awareness in real time that you are out of your body, and yet you remain attached by what is called the silver cord. There's not any mention of a silver cord in the military version of remote viewing. And it's interesting that that had a connection to L. Ron Hubbard, who I mentioned already, or was mentioned in the Jack Parsons story that we've been discussing. It's important to draw these analogies because this was going on prior to World War II. And Aleister Crowley, the magician, the black magician, was very, very involved in Satanism. And Parsons labeled himself the Antichrist. And it's funny that he gave himself a Middle an Arabic name, Ad-Jadal, he called himself. I don't have the entire name right in front of me. That's really not that important. But he was of the belief, personal belief, that he was the Antichrist, that he had conjured up communications with Satan himself and was ordained or the Antichrist. And he communicated this to Crowley. And this, in a sense, upset Crowley. So there's now a motive to not be totally happy with Jack Parsons. Parsons is credited for opening up a vortex, an ancient vortex, over what is deemed and called Edwards Air Force Base in California. What's interesting is there's some very interesting vortices over all the areas where we have desert and extreme heat. It's like that in the Middle East. There's two vortices in Iraq. It's why they invaded Iraq. It had nothing to do with what Saddam Hussein was doing with his oil. It had to do with technology. And these vortices are master vortices. There's one over Cape Canaveral. That's why they chose Cape Canaveral as the location for part A of every launch. Part A1, or B, whatever you want to call it, in Edwards Air Force Base, was a parallel program. There's a much more major type of vortex there. And these vortices go, they interconnect all the planets. They are the means, if you could visualize the planets as a Lego set, or I can't even think of the name of this particular one, but you imagine that each planet's a ball and there's a shaft of wood that connects each ball. And if you space these out a certain way and turn the balls a certain way, you can create the solar system, our solar system. It'll show the average alignment. It won't be absolute, but it'll show the general positions of the planets in their orbits. These vortices connect not just these planets together in a solar system, but they connect the whole of the galaxy together. So these are pathways to deep space. And you're not hearing anything about a deep space program. You mean to tell me that they can shoot what they're claiming hundreds of thousands of light years away from planet Earth? You can't imagine how far that is. They can get shots of new stars developing, constellations, on and on. They can see things that they're not telling us about, for one thing. And then they tell you they can't turn that and find Osama bin Laden, or they can't turn that telescope a little bit, just a millimeter from space and locate the certificate of live birth of the guy living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue when he's not playing golf and on vacation. The preposterous things that they tell us. So, you know, if you just look at things a bit outside the box, this makes total sense. It's how they got to Mars. And they got to Mars because it was easier to get to Mars before they got to the moon. Because they had to discover maybe a more convenient way. But these are nothing but pathways. And it takes a certain type of ship to go through these. So they weren't using rockets, and they weren't using space shuttles. This is a reality, folks. And now you can understand the significance of what Jack Parsons was doing, because he brought rocket propulsion and jet and engines, that whole concept, to the airline industry. So someone had to be really interested in that. U.S. military, we read that in Chapter 3. The Pentagon was very interested in this. The Army Air Force was very interested in it. So was the U.S. Navy very interested in it. And the U.S. Navy became actually the supervisor over all these things. Most people would not think that the people that sail on the seas are actually the ones controlling most of what goes on in the space program, at least from a performance level. They had someone else telling them what to do. There's no doubt about that. I think I'm going to take just a short break here before I wrap up tonight's show. I do have some other things that I want to add to this, but I think I'm going to play The Wild, Wild Sea. Again, this is Sting.
Just as before, in a moment, it was gone to the great gulls fly. If it happens again, I shall worry. That only a strange ship could fly. And my sanity scans the horizon. In the light of a darkening sky, that night as I walked in my slumber, I waded into the sea's strand, and I swam with the moon and her love until I lost sight of the land. I swam to the
died in the rose. The sky was the color of clay. First, just the rustle of canvas, and the gentlest breath on my face. But a galloping line of white horses. So that soon we were in for a race. The gentle side turned to a high.
Wild Wild Sea, Sting, from his album The Soul Cages. He could have easily called that the Wild Wild Space, for that matter. And he mentions a rocket ship in there. I don't know if you caught that in the lyrics. It's very surreal. And it leaves me, though, I think tomorrow we're going to talk more about the aspect of traveling, astral traveling, and the methodologies one can use. I could spend weeks and weeks and months talking about the topic. What I'd like to remark about most is that when remote viewing became the talk, the chatter, Those of you who read metaphysical books or maybe were investigating astral traveling because you had begun to have your own experiences in that regard may have noticed that books on astral traveling became more scarce. People talked about it less. And even today, when you hear somebody talk about it, it's like it's some new thing that just started. But that's a result of people becoming conscious because of energy changes, massive energy changes that are occurring throughout the universe. And these pathways, these portals, are one way of bringing the energy. Remember, they keep the planets in their rotational orbits, and they instruct the planets on keeping their orbital positions in regard to one another as well, all in reference to a sun. Most solar systems operate the same way. I suppose there's different physics in a two-star system. Imagine, are there 3 or 4 or 5 star systems or 10 star systems? Highly probable. I'm not qualified to talk about that. There probably aren't many people on the planet that are, but I bet you if we were to ask the United Galactic Federation Galaxy of Hendon about those realities, they might concur with what I just said. Or they might reprimand me and say, well, of course not. There aren't more than 2. You know, I don't know. It's speculation on my part. But I haven't really sought to know that either. But I have experienced what's going on in space. And I've noticed that it's not just that I have to astral travel to see what's going on. I noticed that my waking consciousness, my 100% waking consciousness on a multidimensional level is able to perceive what's going on in midday. As well as at night or when I'm astral traveling. It's consciousness. And the approach can be different. Just like you can go from point A to point B by either taking a detour to point C or to point D before arriving at point B. You have multiple routes available to you or methods of achieving that. Consciousness is not about limitations. It's quite the opposite. And I had the perception, and I feel it's, you know, this is no national security threat for me to describe what I see. It's at times it's almost comical to see a group of 3 ships racing across space as if there's a cat and mouse game going on. And occasionally battles going on. And I see where the battles are going on in space, and I get confirmation that this is actually occurring out in space from a very reliable source that I talk about a lot on this show that has come under the ingracious scrutiny of those that don't want the truth to be known, because they have their own plans on how they want to usher you into another dimension of their control with more false flag events, much more grandiose than those that you've seen. That's the nature of what's going on. To them, they play it like a game. They gamble on it. They make predictions about what's going more likely to happen, and they gamble on that. They gamble on how many people they can murder, who can murder the most, who can get away with the most dastardly of deeds. And I know that if I can see this going on in a multidimensional perspective, there have to be millions of others that can see this too. They just might not have the means through which to communicate that to you. If they did, you'd be listening to their radio show, wouldn't you? And that's not to impugn what they would say. They're just not in a position to have a show or to write about it and get it published. Or they might be in those positions and not have the courage to do it, to share that information with you. Why do we share it with you? Because it's about finding the truth. I often ask that rhetorical question, what is so wrong about us knowing the truth? The only logical answer why it meets such opposition is because knowing the truth would see the real evil that has controlled this planet. And all it would take is all those who suddenly became conscious of that to act upon that. And it would end instantly. Those that would prey upon children in the ways that they do. Those that would spend all their time devising ways to control the population of a planet while simultaneously destroying the planet. Prefer not that you come to that awareness. What does this have to do with the Jack Parsons story? Everything. And Jack Parsons' demise and the companies involved, either directly or indirectly, and the organizations and secret societies, all know their role in that. And much more. We're just talking about the inception of all of this. On the heels of a Second World War, I can tell you from my own research, many of those that came to this country under the auspices of being refugees were also part of this network. This idea of a Fourth Reich, or a totally communist state run by Zionists who actually created the whole thing in the beginning and have been infiltrated and seeded by reptilians and Nordics and a few other species that have been here for some time and come and go when they please, with new arrivals right now, today. It looks like the, what did they call that Trans-America Highway that they're building starting in Texas, coming up Interstate 35 all the way up to Canada. The highway that they're building, but they're not building. It's like that out in space. And it's a dangerous place to be because there's a crapshoot going on and the prize is planet Earth. And I'm not going to talk about the Syrians and the Zetas and the Arcturians and all of these fictional pseudo-biological robotic names that people are posting, wild stories, and calling themselves the Galactic Federation or the Galactic Federation of Light. And I've specifically stated that there is a group called the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. No one is channeling with the members of this group, at least not to my knowledge. This, and these are Christians. And I've got confirmation that what I'm seeing in the spirit, literally, without, I don't have to astral travel to see this. And you know what? You have the same power. That's why I share this with you. But your intention, your integrity is most critical to the process taking place. It's not about winning the lottery. It's about doing what's right. It's about working and loving and caring for your fellow man. Not offering them change and hope. While you create the next false flag event. Not the pilfering and embezzlement of trillions of dollars. The secretion of billions of dollars in your personal name in foreign banks. This is what's going on, folks. It keeps coming to that. I've been talking about finances for 5 years on this show and on other shows. And now they say trillions, like they learned it from me. Or Christopher Story or Leo Wanta or Orlin Grabby, whoever, whatever name you want to use. But I've been saying it for 4 years on this show. And the mainstream media is saying it to try to drown out what we're saying, you see. Bin Laden's died now, I don't know, 5 or 6 times based on all the accounts that are coming out as people connect the dots. You know, how can you kill a guy 10 years later, roughly 10 years later, and you say for 10 years you couldn't find him, but you're finding things in deep space, possibly hundreds of thousands of light years away, at least 1,000 light years away. But through the discovery of these master vortices, over which there are many in the Middle East, the Middle East in itself is a massive vortex and has been historically. That's why you always have war in the Middle East. Not to mention the greed behind it and the evil behind it. And people question, does the United Galactic Federation exist? Yes, they do. As much as the Greys exist, as much as the Reptilians exist, as much as the Nordics exist. And there have been other races from outer space here on this planet. Many, many tens of thousands of years before what we're told is recorded history. Aren't you tired of listening to the lies that the history began 3,500 years ago or 6,000 years ago? And today they say, well, back then in the 1800s, they didn't keep good records while they infiltrated us. Like with people like the McCann clan, who became the McCains. The political and the military McCains that were just as corrupt and were or are just as corrupt as their predecessors. These are the realities. Now, what's going on in space? You have no problem accepting the premise of outer space and alien life forms when you're watching a movie or TV. Why is it so hard to accept in reality? Is it because they present it to you as if it's fiction and tell you, really, this is just a movie? Well, in that sense, life is just a movie. When you're unconscious, you might as well just be in a movie. And you're just playing a bit part. Well, today, we want you to be the baker today. Tomorrow, though, you're going to be the janitor because we've got to have somebody scrub the toilets. That's consciousness on this planet. Because you allow others to tell you what you have to do. And you were created as a sovereign being. And there are 574 planets working together in a confederation of good who know this is true. And they know the reality of God. And they just so happen to be Christians. And I can tell you that they're not doing the deeds that the false Christians on this planet are doing. So I'd have to say they really know Christianity. They know Jesus. They know the true nature of God. Or they may not have all the answers, but they certainly have many more than we have. Can we not learn from that? Oh, no, it's more important to shoot the messenger. By shooting the messenger, the message stops. Well, no, it won't stop. You get rid of one messenger, another one will appear. It's happened throughout history, and you know that too. I'm going to play one more song. Again, this is Sting Night, I guess, even though we entitled the show Jeremiah Blues. This is a description. I played this tune before on the show some months back. It's worth another listen. This is a description of this planet, written in metaphor, but a lot of truth comes through. This is Sting and the Soul Cages.
This moon where the oceans die, the shoulder night stars hang fire in the nets, and the chaos of cages where the crayfish lie. Where is the fisherman? Where is the boat? Where is the keeper in his carrying coat? Our cliffs on the moon when the dark bird flies. Where is the child?
Jimmy. as a young thing, watching when I whisper when my cage bird sings. If you lose, I'll wager the king of the sea, you'll spend the rest of forever in the cage with me. These are the stories. These are the stories. One last curse on the fisherman's name. These are the soul cages. 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 These are the soul cages.
You know the title of the song. That was Sting from the album of the same name, The Soul Cages. Could he be talking really about planet Earth? He's using parables, if you want, musical parables, really. Think he was really talking about crabs? Or was he comparing us to crabs? Or was he comparing some species to crabs? Tonight we talked about astral traveling. I just scratched the surface. Actually, I'd like to do several shows on how it's done, how it's accomplished, and how natural it is, and how sacred it is. When you're aware of something beyond your normal reality, outside the box, so to speak, do you not sense energy or something new? Those of you who have had that experience, can those of you who haven't had that experience or just listening to it because it sounds like something really freaky that you like to listen to tonight, or that you want to hear some patriotic message, or maybe just some spiritual message, isn't it all really connected if it's well and good and in alignment with God's laws and the laws of the universe, the laws of the creation, the laws of the Creator? It all comes back to God and that oneness. As a universal entity, mankind has to be very ill if the body is suffering from this evil. Isn't it like disease in your body, or illness, or madness? when you look at consciousness from that angle, it's not personal anymore. It becomes, what role am I playing in all of this? How can I effectively change the reality to something that God would smile about? Something that would bless the earth and bring it back to life, restore its life force and nature. Doesn't anyone's heart ache for the loss of life on this planet, whether it's human life or animal life or plant life? The life of the most dominant substance on the planet in terms of physical senses would be water. Look at the destruction of water that's occurring. When you contemplate these things, really, from outside the box, without political ideologies, just imagining that at some point in your future existence, wherever that may be, you are going to be held accountable for your role in what you did or did not do to provide a solution to the world's problems. And to pretend that these things aren't going on, or to attack those that deliver the message. And I'm not talking about just any old message. You've got to use your discernment. As I often say, and I'll say again, it's worth repeating on every show, we don't ask you to believe anything on this show, myself and my guests. That's why they're frequent guests on this show. That's a core understanding or foundation of what they do and who they are as messengers of truth. Integrity is important to them, and honoring all these things that we've talked about, which are of God, which are of the creation, and abide by universal laws. Those are the realities that should be your experience. You have to make that decision for yourself. I cannot make it for you, and I will not make it for you. But I and my guests on every show we do are attempting to reveal some portion of the truth to you in real time when it's appropriate, meaning pertaining to what's happening today, and in retrospect, looking at the past, so that we don't repeat the same mistakes or allow the same insanities to occur. What is wrong with that? Why is that not a worthwhile pursuit for anyone? You know, I can see these people inviting their friends to dinner and giving them one little morsel of a turkey that they slice up while they take the entire remaining rest of the carcass and put it on their own plate. As if to demonstrate, well, we're all a secret organization. We're all brothers in this destruction of this planet and our assault upon God, the Creator, not their false God. They treat each other the same way they treat us. So really, they're out of the picture as far as solutions are concerned. They're more concerned with parasitizing each other. It's insanity. How much longer are you going to remain satisfied with that as your reality? Because you don't have to choose that. You can choose something else. I think I've said enough tonight. I appreciate everyone tuning in. I hope in some way I revealed some aspect of truth to you that sounds real and something approachable by you. without fear, and with a quiet confidence that if you look within yourself, you can begin that process. And you don't have to conform against your will. And you turn your reactive existence into one of creative existence. And that way, everything becomes possible. Everything becomes available to you. That wraps it up for tonight. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio tonight. We had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Donna Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when, it is confirmed, my special guests will be scientist, inventor, Jim Murray, and metaphysician, seer, intuitive, and essayist, Zora Nova Star Livingstone. In the meantime, I thank you for tuning in, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.